causes direct connection in terms of the way to operate. You start the internet, you build on the internet, this network of solidarity, and then you go and create a community in the urban space because it's visible then for society, it's visible for the media, people start to learn each other, and then you constantly establish an interaction, a debate that goes in the urban space, face to face, and in the internet, and constantly interacts. The other point I want to mention about Egypt. There was repression, huge repression. Well, now it continues. I'm talking about the moment the movement was able to at least take move out of that. There was, as you know, lobby repression. There was an attempt by the police to break up the whole movement. And it was also, for the first time in history, even Iran did not do it before, an attempt to cut off entirely the country from the internet. That failed. After 5 days, it was restored for a number of reasons. But the first one is it was not working. Technically, it was not working. Even if they cut off 93% of the traffic, not 193%, but immediately there were a number of connections that were reestablished in Egypt and between Egypt and the world. There is such a thing as a community of internet fighters that immediately mobilizes on each country, and then they find all kinds of ways to connect. Examples, interesting enough, the companies, Google and Twitter created a speak-to-tweet system in which from a landline phone in Egypt you could call, and or from a smartphone, using the smartphone as a modem, you could call, and then this would go into an answering machine in Paris or in Stockholm, from where the message was automatically transformed into a tweet that would be beamed back in Egypt. Another interesting measure, the National Network of Hackers Telecomics designed a system in which signed a program with the same kind of calls, messages through landlines that went into a landline phone somewhere else, then the program would find automatically all the facts, all the numbers of all the fax machines in Egypt. Wow. And the program then would be, the message would be transformed into a fax and going into all the faxes in Egypt. Of course, Mubarak got a lot of them. He got a lot of them, but that's not clandestine messages. That's simply for people to be able to relate to each other. And of course, the police know where people connect, where they're going. The problem is that people don't know. The police does. So a number of these networks were restored. Some people said, well, yeah, but there's a minority of people that have internet. Well, this is one of the most misleading statements. The penetration of internet in Egypt is about 24%. But this is counting everybody. But if you go into the age group 16 to 40 in Cairo and Alexandria, is 65%. And that would really count. The demographics of the people who were there ready to mobilize, not the remote village. That comes later, but the original movements come from the people who are right, using cyber cafes, using schools, internet, using everything. Second thing, mobile penetration. Mobile penetration in Asia, in terms of numbers, not devices, numbers, is 85% of the population. And that's where the horizontal networks are immediately created. So, the great, what I call the great disconnection, did not work technically and stopped after 5 days for three reasons. First, it was too expensive. $120 million a day of losses for the Egyptian economy. Second, there was some pressure from the United States. Third, and most important, the movement was already in the streets.